Today, for our first session, we are going to be dealing with an introduction to evangelism. And in Mark's Gospel, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, Jesus charged his disciples with the responsibility of seeing that every person hears the good news of his saving love. This is a part of God's plan for your life, that you should be involved in bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Over in John chapter 15 and verse 16, he says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." So you sit here today, both called and ordained by Jesus Christ to the task of evangelism. Now, this may not be your primary spiritual gift, but you do have a responsibility as a believer in Jesus Christ to be involved in the sharing of the gospel and bringing people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And somehow we cannot come back and excuse ourselves by saying, "Well, that isn't my gift," because Jesus has commanded each one of us to be involved in that task. Now, Jesus not only gave us the command, but he also gives to us the knowledge to be able. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." In this passage, Jesus promised to make us fishers of men. He is going to teach us how to do evangelism so we can win other people to Christ. Now, the secret of learning to do evangelism is in following Christ and what he commands us to do. If we're not fishers of men, then I don't know who you're following. But I would certainly question whether it were Jesus. Because he says, "If you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men." And when you find those two little words, "I will," which so many of you said that day that you got married, you made a promise. And when God is speaking and he uses those two words, he is making you a promise. "If you will follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, and in verse 12, which we have memorized for this week, it specifically says that God has given some to be evangelists. And they were given to be evangelists so that they could take and perfect the saints. Now, they were not to come out and to do evangelism for the saints, but they were to perfect the saints so that the saints, or laymen, could do evangelism. Now, it's interesting, as you look at this word in the Greek, is that to perfect means to perfectly prepare or to perfectly equip to carry out the work of evangelism. Now, that's what their job is. And in some cases, we have kind of a distortion that the evangelist would be very happy if y'all just bring them to church and then I'll stand up there and lay it on them and we'll win them to Christ. Well, that isn't what the verse is talking about. Now, he is certainly to express his gift, and there's nothing wrong with them doing that. But if that's what they teach you, that evangelism is all about, your job is to get them to the church house, and my job is to reach the harvest. That is not what Paul is talking about. He says that the evangelist, this gifted man that God has created and given to the church, his job is to perfectly prepare, to perfectly equip the saints. And a part of their work of ministry is winning people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, not only does Jesus command us to evangelize and give us the knowledge to do that, but he also gives us the power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." When the Holy Spirit comes in to the life of the believer at conversion, he gives him power to be a witness to others about Christ. Now, we need this power because of our natural reluctance to talk to other people about Jesus Christ. But we also need this power because God wants to give you a worldwide ministry of winning people to Christ. Now, if he only intended for you just to win a few people around you, then perhaps you wouldn't need that power. But he wants you to be involved in winning people not just in Jerusalem, but in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, Greenville is our Jerusalem, but he wants to reach out to Hunt County and to the state of Texas and then to the United States and the uttermost parts of the earth. And if we are going to do this, then somehow we are going to have to adapt to some kind of a lifestyle that has evangelism as a regular part of it. And I think of the Apostle Paul over in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 28. In the J.B. Phillips translation, it says this: "So naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet. We teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so if it is possible, we may bring every man to his full maturity in Christ. This is what I am working at all the time with all the strength that God gives me." So here he talks about evangelism as being something that is natural. It's a part of a lifestyle that we are involved in. Now, he certainly is not talking about us being obnoxious, where we run around and grab people by the lapels, "Are you saved, brother?" and that sort of thing. That's not what he's talking about. But he is talking that we are involved on a day-by-day basis, and it is a natural thing for us to be trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and drawing people into the kingdom. Now, not everyone that we talk to is going to come to Christ, but every person who is without Christ, he is a candidate, or she is a candidate, for salvation. And for us to begin to work where it will become a very natural thing for us to proclaim Christ to that person. Now, if people do not respond to our message, our job is not to force them, but to back off. And if we can't talk to people about God, well, then we ought to be talking to God about people and allow the Spirit of God to do His job, to bring about a need, to bring about conviction, so that we can just naturally proclaim the message. Now, if we were to define evangelism, we might define it in this way. Lauren Sani, who is the president of the Navigators, defines it. He says, evangelism is taking a good look at Jesus Christ and then telling somebody what you saw. Now, I like that real well, because we are told over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, a witness is somebody who is reporting what they have seen or what they have heard. And I like the way that David put it over in Psalms chapter 107 in verse 2. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The fact that God has saved us, our lives have been changed and transformed. Today we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the thing that we need to be willing to do is to share what has happened. Now, in a very real way, evangelism is helping a person, first of all, to recognize his need for Jesus Christ. Most people do not come to Christ until there is a need in their life, and it's a tragedy. It has to be that way. But somewhere, somehow, some crisis will come, and they won't be able to handle it, and they're going to have to turn to God. And sometimes we have to wait a long time for that to happen in people's lives, but they just don't have a need. So first of all, they must recognize the need, and then secondly, they need to understand how to receive Jesus Christ into their life. The people are out there calling upon God, but somehow they do not know how to reach Him, and our job is to help them to understand that. Now, our job is to proclaim the gospel in such a way that people understand their need for Him. In doing this, we need to remember that the gospel is good news. It is not hell, fire, and damnation. Our job is to proclaim the Word of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God to take that Word which we have proclaimed and to bring conviction to the heart and life of that individual. Now, gang, so often we like to trade places with the Holy Spirit. We are not proclaiming the gospel, but we love to reach out there and get a hold of somebody's arm and begin to twist that thing. And you're going to say, Jesus is Lord, or I'm going to break it off, and I'm going to take and hit you with that bloody stump. That is not our job. Our job is to proclaim the good news. And then it is the responsibility of the Spirit of God to get a hold of that person's arm and begin to apply the pressure. And he knows where those people live. He knows their tenderest spot. And if we try and do that, we will do more to drive people away from the kingdom rather than to attract them to the kingdom. So our job is to take and proclaim the message in such a way that we do not hinder the Holy Spirit of God from doing His work. And beloved, if we are faithful in that task of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, then oftentimes we will be rewarded with the privilege of assisting people to receive Jesus Christ into their heart and life. I like the verse over in Psalms 126 in verse 6. It says, "He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Now, in doing evangelism, we also need to remember that evangelism is both an act as well as a process. Oftentimes, we think of evangelism more in terms of an act, where it is something that we do. We go out tracting, knocking on doors. It's something that we do for an hour on Wednesday night when we go calling for the church. And it's more an act. But it's interesting that Jesus, when he describes this over in Matthew chapter 13, verses 4 through 23, Jesus likes evangelism to a farmer who is out sowing seed, planting it in his field. And it's more a process there than it is an act. Because when you are farming, first of all, you come along and you select your field. And then once you have selected it, you prepare the ground. Once the ground has been prepared, you sow the seed. Once the seed has been sown, you come back and water and cultivate. And then eventually there will come that day of harvest where we reap. But once we have reaped, then we have got to take and to conserve or to preserve that fruit. Now, in a very real way, evangelism is the same thing, because first of all, we must find a person. And then in preparing the ground, we pray that the Spirit of God might work in the heart and life of the individual. The sowing of the seed is the presenting of the gospel. The watering and the cultivating is winning that friendship and answering those questions and helping people to understand the gospel. And then the harvesting is when we are leading people to Christ. And the conserving is when we are helping them from being a convert to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, of which we have been commanded to make disciples of all nations. Now, if we understand that this is a process as well as an act, we learn to evaluate the situation and try and figure out where people are in that process. So sometimes it may be that I am sowing the seed. Sometimes it may mean that I am cultivating. Sometimes it will mean that I am actually reaping. And there are other times that I am involved in the conserving. And if we understand it in that process and learn to evaluate people where they are and then begin to help them at that point, rather than to assume that evangelism is just an act, it is presenting the gospel and trying to bring that person to Christ. If we see it as the process, we will be far more effective. But if we see it only as that act, that everywhere we go, we kind of are grabbing people and trying to bring them to a saving faith in Christ, that we're not going to be all that effective. Now, in evangelism, we need to understand that there are basically about three kinds of relationships that we are involved in. There are those people that we meet once in a lifetime and we will never see them again this side of eternity. The second group are those people who are casual acquaintance. We see them from time to time, but day after day they are not a part of our constituency. And then there are those regular acquaintance or friends that day after day that we are out there rubbing shoulders with them, and every time we turn around, why, lo and behold, there we are. Now, God basically wants to use us in all three of those relationships to win people to Christ. However, we are most responsible for those people who are in our daily context that we are rubbing shoulders with day after day. Those are the people that we are going to stand in that last day and to be held most accountable for. Now, in dealing with those three relationships, if we're prepared, God will help us to take and win people in all three of those categories. The people we meet once in a lifetime, we need to constantly be alert and prepared to present the gospel briefly and concisely whenever we have the opportunity. So often as I travel, flying from one place to another, I sit down and I'm next to this person and I'll never see them again this side of eternity. Now, somebody could have been praying for those people for years. And lo and behold, now I'm here, and for one reason or another, we strike up a conversation. And because I am continually trying to assess, you know, is this person here someone that I can share Jesus with? That God will give me an opportunity, and I can do what other people cannot do. And He'll listen to me for a half an hour. And if I'm prepared, boy, then I may come along and be involved in the reaping. Somebody else has prayed. Somebody else has been watering and cultivating their prayers. And I just come along and God uses me in that process. So we need to understand the gospel and be able to present it clearly and concisely. We also need to be good evaluators, that as we talk with people, and we're going to talk about this more in this course on evangelism, of how to assess where people are. The second group are those casual acquaintances. And those people, we need to work at building the kind of relationship that allows us to converse about spiritual things. So oftentimes we can talk about the weather, we can talk about sports, we can talk about politics, we can talk about current events, but, you know, religion, that's a private matter, and we just don't discuss that with anybody. And you all know folks like that. And the thing that we've got to do is to create the kind of relationship that allows us to talk about everything. Because even those people that don't discuss it with strangers, with those people who they have a real freedom to share the inner thoughts of their hearts, which they do with very few people, but you'd be one of those people that I could do that with. When I was in Singapore, you know, the Singaporeans are, or the Chinese, you know, tend to be very conservative. They just don't kind of air themselves, so to speak, to everyone. But you get a guy like Gene War who comes through, and every time he would stand up to preach, you're going to get about 30 or 40 verses. You know, he reaches over there, grabs a clip of those verses, slaps them into his gun there, and now, he accuses other people of doing that, but he has a tendency of also doing that himself. But people sit there and they listen in that command of Scripture and the fact that he knows God. And boy, I'll tell you, they stand up there in line and talk to him about their problem. And beloved, we just need to create that kind of thing in a people sense that you both know him and his word. Then God will give you those kind of opportunities. And that if we'll just get ourselves usable, then God will use us. The last, those colleagues and friends who are an everyday part, and those people that you will be held most accountable for. To them, we need to be a living example of what we preach, as well as a dependable friend. And we need to ask God for real wisdom in knowing how and when to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some people, you know, they go into a new job and they're going to be there for a long time. And boy, I'll tell you, in that first week, they have nailed the soul of every person in that place to the wall back there. And they aren't ever going to have another opportunity. But boy, we've evangelized the whole place and nobody's come to Christ and everybody's turned off. But I've done my job. No, you haven't done your job. And maybe the best thing you could do is just initially to keep your mouth shut. And let people see it in your life and to live it out. And very prayerfully be asking God for an opportunity, for wisdom to know when and how to be able to share. And at that point, it probably should not be, you know, kind of the quick sort of thing where I've drawn out, but day after day to try and bring Jesus into the context of our daily living, and then eventually to be able to open that book and to share the gospel. And if we learn that there are those three different relationships and how to address ourselves to each one of those, but so oftentimes people don't understand, you know, everybody's in the same category. And when they see you come and they reach over there and they get that clip, slap it in, and they give you their best shot. But that's the last time you're going to shoot at me. In Psalms 24, verses 11 and 12, it says, delivering those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter, oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we do not know this, does not he consider it who weighs the heart, and does he not know it who keeps your soul, and will he not render to every man according to his works? That's Proverbs. I've got a typographical error down there. I looked at that and I wanted to believe the paper more than... But it's Proverbs 24:11 and 12. We're going to stop there.